Hello, and thanks for tuning in for Audio Mo Day 3. My name is Ivan Fetch, and I'm Ivan Fetch on Twitter, I-V-A-N-F-E-T-C-H. Today I thought I'd talk a little bit about some of the software that I really couldn't get along without that I use on Mac OS X. If you're not a Mac user, this might be a little bit boring, but potentially useful if you're wanting to play a little bit more, get to know the Mac, and could give you an idea for some software that you might want to check out. So I'll start by talking about iTerm 2. I spend a ton of time in the terminal on Mac. So iTerm 2 is I-T-E-R-M, and then the number 2. I do use OS X Terminal, but two things led me to iTerm 2. One is the shortcut keys that you use to switch between tabs. They're command, left, and right arrow. You do have to switch tabs, then quickly interact with the new shell area that is your terminal. So that becomes muscle memory pretty quickly, but and I actually think it's the same way in OS X Terminal when you switch tabs. So that was one thing that led me to iTerm 2. The other was that in OS X Terminal, I found that when I'm in the VI or VIM editors, which I am a lot, and I'm moving around quickly, up and down lines and left and right, that it would actually cause Mac Terminal to crash. And taking everything else with it, all the other tabs and connections you have and other files you have open, and you can recover from that. But that has never happened to me in iTerm 2. As an experiment, I changed terminals and it worked well. So a couple issues with iTerm 2. Sometimes the buffer will slow down, get a little sluggish when you're reading around with VoiceOver. And for now, I solve that by just clearing the history of your screen buffer. So this is nothing to do with your shell history or anything, but you just hit Command-K or Command-Shift-K, so that doesn't bother me too much. The other thing is some of the more recent builds of iTerm 2. If you go to iterm2.com, go to Downloads, and I've been using the nightly builds or sometimes the betas, but don't get anything that's dated past January or February of 2016 because there's so far a bug that's new with some VoiceOver support. So hit me up on Twitter if you have trouble finding one that works, and I can talk more about it with you. The next software is Macdown, M-A-C-D-O-W-N. It's a Markdown editor, and Markdown is essentially a pretty simple language for representing formatting of text. The concept here is that you're representing your formatting in text instead of using something like a word processor formatting. The two things I like about Markdown and that I use a lot are the HTML viewer to the right of the area where you're editing your document. That viewer lets me read down through my document using the standard web navigation shortcut keys so I can jump between headings and that kind of thing, which can be useful for a large document. The other thing is you can export your Markdown as either HTML or PDF, which is handy for handing it off to a coworker. So the next piece of software is called NVAlt. That's N as in Nancy, V as in Victor, A-L-T. And this also uses Markdown as the writing language, but if you're familiar with the Drafts application on iOS, where its primary focus is give me a place to write stuff down, I don't want to have to necessarily name a document or decide where to save it. This is kind of the sentiment of NVAlt. So with NVAlt, there is no saving necessarily, just kind of things get saved as you're typing them. This can be nice in occasional scenarios where you have to reboot your Mac unexpectedly or something's gone wrong or you lose speech all of a sudden for no reason, and the stuff that you're doing in NVAlt, you don't have to worry about the potential, well, do you want to save all these documents you have open that you haven't saved yet, dialogues. Next piece of software is Text Expander. Everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with this. You can put common text snippets in here and assign short strings that you'll type to expand those snippets in an application. Stuff that you type all the time, like your email address or your mailing address or signatures, that kind of thing. I also use this in the terminal. Where this can be nice is that you can obviously use things like shell aliases to have shortcuts like this in your terminal. But if you SSH into a lot of other systems where you don't necessarily want to set up shop or copy your profile over, or maybe you're only going to be on the system a few times, but you still want to have some of your handy shortcuts, Text Expander is going to work better for you in those kind of scenarios because it's essentially pasting these snippets in as though you typed them from your keyboard. So the other thing that's kind of cool about Text Expander that I use is your snippet can actually come from the output of a script that you have Text Expander execute. This script can run in whatever language you like to code in. So I have one, for example, where you give it a MAC address, which is a unique address that is assigned to a network card. It will provide it to you in the other format than what you've given it. And this is useful when you're working on like a Cisco switch or router, which uses the dotted format of the MAC address, but you need to paste it into some other tool that you're also working with, which only uses the other format, and you need to flip back and forth all the time. And you're tired of removing periods every fourth characters and put a colon every second character, or vice versa. So using the scripts with Text Expander, you can do even cooler expansions like that. 1Password is the next app. Everybody seems to know about 1Password. It also has a browser extension to help you capture passwords that you enter in your browser for new sites, and also come up with passwords that you've stored in your password vault. 1Password obviously is a password manager. It helps you actually use unique passwords for all your websites instead of that same password everywhere. I really like 1Password. Some of the things that I like about it are that I sync it to my phone. You can use a number of different methods for syncing your passwords, including all the cloud services you would expect, like iCloud and Dropbox. But you can also use wireless to sync, so it's a little more private. You can also use iTunes file sharing. It's a little more cumbersome, right, to do that by hand. And last but not least, you can do two-factor authentication in 1Password. You can add a field type to one of your password entries that acts like the Google Authenticator app you might be used to using on your phone. So it will generate the proper token in your 1Password entry so that you don't have to necessarily have your device to use a two-factor authentication that you might use with Google Authenticator. I use Google Authenticator for a number of things, SSHing into certain systems that might be internet accessible so that you're entering your password, but also a token to help protect that system a little more. Next is Slack. I'm sure most people are familiar with that as well. There's obviously issues with Slack. Navigating the message history in Slack tends to generate a lot of busy. There's some focus issues there as well sometimes. In fact, in the past, I stayed on Yosemite versus upgrading to El Capitan because I found those Slack issues got a lot worse in El Capitan, and I haven't reevaluated that lately, but there are things that I use in Slack that are particularly handy besides the obvious, using it just to chat with coworkers and so on. It's a team communication app, are that you can do what Slack calls posts, where you have a document, which incidentally can use Markdown, and that document can be edited, not at the same time, but it can be edited by other coworkers. So if I paste a meeting agenda for an upcoming meeting in Slack as a post, then it's up there for other people to see, and they can also edit it and then resave it. The other thing we do often is have notices pushed to Slack using the webhook functionality that Slack gives you. So it's basically a URL that you can have other systems, like monitoring systems for outages and that sort of thing, post messages into Slack channels. And then we also control things from Slack. So there's a robot service called Hubot, H-U-B-O-T, that you can get as a framework and customize with your own scripts and so on and so forth, so that you can tell your Slack Hubot to please restart this service for me on a system or do other work for me, so that you can control things from your chat. So, and last but not least is VMware Fusion. Everybody likely is familiar with this as well. There's also a binary that you can run in the terminal called vmrun, and it's inside of the applications folder and then inside of the VMware Fusion application itself. You know how you can actually go into that like it's a folder, and from there you go into the contents folder and the library folder, and there's a executable binary called vmrun. That lets you do some command line stuff. You can actually start and stop and pause VMs. You can get the IP address that's inside the guest OS if you've got VMware tools installed. So that gives you some nice terminal-based workflow for interacting with VMware Fusion as well. So anyhow, I'm sorry this was a little bit long and perhaps rambly. Wanted to give a lot of detail on all these different apps and why they're useful to me. But thanks for listening, and again, my name is Ivan Fetch, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.